back. You may be seated. All right, thank you. You may be seated. All right, thank you very much. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 23. All right, Acts chapter 23. If you'll open to Acts chapter 23, please. Thank you for being in school this semester. Thank you for giving us the privilege of loving you. I hope you have a great semester. Acts chapter 23. I don't think I'm going to tell any funny stories today. I don't know that I'm going to say anything inspirational, but this may be one of the most important truths you hear the entire time you're here in college. This microphone's off, is that correct? All right, I'm going to move that, and then if you'll give me just a little more volume on the other microphone, just a tad, and maybe a little more treble and not quite as much bass, if you would, just a tad adjustment there. Acts chapter 23, I'm going to read from verse 6. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren," and notice this phrase, "I am a Pharisee." That would be very similar to being either a congressman or a senator in the United States today. It'd be something similar to being a Democrat or Republican, but more related to being either a congressman or a senator. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were the two ruling parties, like the two ruling bodies, like our Senate and Congress. He said, "I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee." Now if you'll look back to chapter 22, Acts chapter 22, and I want to look at verse 3. Acts 22, verse 3. "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel," this city being Jerusalem, the capital city, "brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers." We won't turn to it, but in Acts chapter 5, there's a story where the Sadducees and the Pharisees were having a big discussion, and they disagreed on something, and it was becoming heated. And Gamaliel stood up and said, "Let me tell you what I think we ought to do." And everybody stopped and listened and did what he said. And I know that strangely, the groundwork I'm laying here could make you think, I wonder if he's going to try to say something about what's happening in our nation, and no, not whatsoever. I had this prepared well before recent developments, and I have absolutely nothing to say in this message about those recent developments, but so I want to get that off your mind. But Paul is saying that I was born in Tarsus, but my father was a Pharisee, or we would say my father was a senator, or my father was a congressman. So I grew up here in Jerusalem. This is what Paul is saying. Like we would say, I was born in Iowa, but my father was a senator, so I grew up in Washington, D.C. And Paul is saying that while I was growing up here in Jerusalem, I was taught by Gamaliel. And from what little bit we're told about who the Pharisees were and so forth, it seems that Gamaliel must have been the most well-known, the most highly respected. And so Paul is saying, my father was a senator, I grew up in Washington, D.C., and I was taught by the most respected senator in the city. Now, if you would, please turn, and we're going to leave that subject completely. And again, I don't want you to think I'm going anywhere with that, according to recent events or anything. But now, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And while you're turning there, I'm going to grab this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to take our text from one little phrase in chapter 4. And it is based on or related to the background we just laid with what I showed you there in the book of Acts. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Paul makes this statement, just this first little phrase, chapter 4, verse 4. For I know nothing by myself. I know nothing by myself. I was born in the house of a senator. I grew up in Washington, D.C. I was taught by the most highly respected senator, Pharisee in the land. But I know nothing by myself. I cannot think of a more important phrase or motto for a college student to adopt in his life. I know nothing. I know nothing by myself. You know, most everything I know, I was taught, or at least the foundation was laid, by my parents. They taught me how to eat. They taught me that hot things burn. They taught me what my name is. They taught me how to walk. They taught me how to talk. They taught me how to wash my hands. They taught me proper table manners. They taught me to use my spoon. I remember when my younger brother used to reach in his Cheerio bowl and get a handful of Cheerios and put them in the spoon and then put it in his mouth. They taught me to chew with my mouth closed. They taught me to ask what I wanted next and not just grab it across the table. They taught me not to talk with food in my mouth. They taught me not to put my elbows on the table and taught me to use my napkin. They taught me what to talk about and what not to talk about at the supper table, like don't talk about gutting the deer you killed today at the supper table. I remember that lesson I learned the hard way. They taught me how to dress, how to bathe, how to brush my teeth, how to clean my room. They taught me how to tie my shoes, comb my hair, how to work, how to be polite, how to be grateful. I remember my wife took our grandson out to eat. He was about 4 years of age. She took him out to lunch one day. And while they were eating lunch, she said, JT, someday when you grow up and get big, you can buy my lunch. And he said, I ain't going to waste my money. They taught me how to fish. Dad taught me that the best way to catch a catfish is with chicken liver on a trot line in the middle of the night. Best way to catch a bass is on a lure with a rod and reel early in the morning. Best way to catch a white perch is with a shiner in the middle of the day with a cane pole. Bluegill bite good on crickets late in the evening. He taught me how to handle and shoot a gun. He taught me to treat every gun as if it was loaded. He taught me never hand a gun to anyone unless I double check and make sure the safety's on. He taught me to always put my safety back on the moment I shot it. He taught me never to point my gun at anything unless I planned to kill it. He taught me to hunt rabbits with a dog and squirrels with a .22 rifle and deer with a .30-30. He taught me how to sharpen the knife, how to skin and gut and clean and cut up and freeze what I kill. He taught me how to plant a garden. Plant peas in a row, plant squash on a hill, plant tomatoes in a bowl. Irish potatoes, you cut the eye off and bury it. Sweet potatoes, you break off the sprout and stick it in the ground. He taught me when to water the garden, when to hoe it. He taught me when to harvest. Do you pick tomatoes or do you dig tomatoes? Do you pick potatoes or do you dig potatoes? You need to know that kind of stuff when you garden. He taught me when to pick the purple hull peas while they were still moist and let the black-eyed peas dry out before I picked them. He taught me how to shell butter beans and snap Kentucky Wonders. And I could go on and on and on for the rest of the week. All the things my parents taught me, my Sunday school teachers. They taught me the Bible stories. Noah and the Ark. Moses and the bulrushes. Jesus and his birth. Zacchaeus and the sycamore tree. The Good Samaritan and the thieves. The books of the Bible. My Sunday school teacher in the fourth grade helped me memorize the 23rd Psalm. The first sermon I ever preached when I was 15 years old was from the 23rd Psalm. Lasted a total of 7 minutes. My school teachers taught me to read. They taught me to count, to add, to subtract. They taught me geography. I remember how much I loved geography because they showed me where my father fought in World War II. And the first time I ever got, you know, was able to vision that. And they taught me science, that the sun rises in the east, sets in the west. And the different seasons. And taught me that the moon was full one night a month. And Dad had taught me that the best night to fish for catfish is when there's a full moon. The worst night to hunt coons is when there's a full moon. And they taught me that it happens once a month, and I was excited to learn that. I remember my coaches teaching me to spread my legs out when I played third base so I could go either direction. I remember them teaching me how to swing the bat level and how to, on track, how to run on my toes instead of my flat feet. And when I deadlift weights, to do it with my legs and not my back. And I remember my boss, when I was a teenager, teaching me how thick the cement should be before we pour it and how soon to pull the forms off and how to run a backhoe and a bobcat and a dump truck and a boom truck. And I remember the day I was doing something there on the job and the boss walked up and he took it away from me and did it the way it should have been done with some enthusiasm and getting it done in a hurry. And when he finished, he handed it back to me and said, "Now that's how you get with the program," and turned around and walked away. I remember my bus captain teaching me how to visit on a bus route, how to pass out tracts, how to go soul winning. My bus captain that took me to church and got me saved. I remember the night that I was on staff at the church, and the pastor and I were going soul winning. I was about 16 years of age, and I had on my shirt I'd worn to school that day and a pair of blue jeans. And he explained to me that blue jeans is not what you wear when you go soul winning, especially with the pastor and so forth. And I remember when we first got married, my wife taught me how to read. And I could go on and on and on and on and on about all the different things that people have taught me. I know nothing by myself. But most of us reach some point in our life, some stage, where we began to get the impression that I have now learned so much that I can probably take it from here. I can probably teach myself the rest of what I need to know. For some people, that happens around 12 to 13 years of age. For some people, it happens when they get their driver's license. I remember some things that I thought I knew now because I had a driver's license, which my parents explained to me I didn't know. For some of us, it happens when we turn 18 because that's some magical number that the world labels us as an adult now. For some people, it happens the first time they leave home or sometime it happens to folks during the years they're in college. It happens to a lot of people when they, what they call, fall in love. Now they know how to make all the decisions on their own from that point on. Or it happens to some people about the time they get married. Or for some people, it's when they get their first job or get a big promotion on the job or they've had some great success. Can you imagine how limited my life would have been if my parents had not taught me how to eat? Can you imagine how limited my life, how little my life would have accounted for anything if I had not let my parents teach me how to walk? If I had not let my parents teach me how to wash my hands or have proper table manners or how to dress or how to bathe or how to brush my teeth or how to clean my room or how to go to work. I wonder how limited your life is going to be Because you don't allow someone to teach you the next something that you should be learning at this stage in your life. Would you turn to John chapter 3? The Gospel of John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, you know the story. Nicodemus has come to see Jesus at night, and Jesus makes some amazing statements to him. But I'm just going to read a few of the verses. Look at verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, unto Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Look down at verse 7. Jesus is speaking here. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now look at verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master? Art thou one who has been highly educated? Art thou one who teaches others? That's what a master was. In that day, it'd be similar to a doctorate's degree today, be similar to a PhD, be similar to at least a college education. And here was this man who was a master, who had been supposedly highly educated, and now he's teaching others. Like you've heard the phrase, a master teacher. That's where it comes from. Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Isn't that an amazing question that Jesus asked Nicodemus? Nicodemus, I thought you graduated from college. Nicodemus, I thought you had a college degree. I thought you had a diploma. I saw your diploma on the wall. Hey, aren't you a master? And knowest not these things? Jesus was, if deity can be bewildered, Jesus was bewildered that he had a college degree and he didn't know these things. Do you know all the books of the Bible in order? Do you know the main characters of the Bible? Do you know the order in which they appear in the Bible? Do you know what book they appear in? Do you know who they married? Do you know how many children each one of them had? Do you know what kind of work they did? Do you know if they basically were a good person or a bad person? Could you answer those questions I just proposed about Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Nimrod, Abraham, Lot, Pharaoh, Isaac, Rebekah, Esau, Jacob, Rachel, Leah, Judah, Gilead, Potiphar, Eleazar, Joshua, Balaam, Rahab, Gideon, Jephthah, Samson, Orpah, Ruth, Boaz, Jesse, Hannah, Eli, Samuel, Saul, Jonathan, David, Absalom, Joab. How about Solomon? How about Jeroboam, Rehoboam, Elijah, Elisha, Ahab, Jezebel, Hezekiah, Nebuchadnezzar, Job, Nehemiah, Tobiah, Sanballat, Daniel, Mordecai, Esther, Haman, Ezra, Joseph, Mary, Herod, John the Baptist, the apostles, Pilate, Elizabeth, Martha, Mary, Barnabas, Cornelius, Paul, Silas, Apollos, Felix, Festus, Agrippa, Timothy, or Titus? Could you answer all those questions about any one of those people? Much less every one of them. And it'll just be a few months from now, and you won't be sitting in a college. You'll be on staff at a church. You'll be standing before some boys and girls molding their life. You'll be directing the lives of some teenagers. You will be salvaging the lives and marriages of some adults. Can you tell me who Judah's brothers were? Can you tell me who his three sons were? Can you tell me who he married? Can you tell me who his daughter-in-law was? Can you tell me where each one of those people lived? Can you tell me what they accomplished in their life? What God said good about them? What God said bad about them? Do you know the chronological history of the Bible? Could I give you any main event in the Bible and you place it where it goes chronologically? Can you quote any portion of the Bible, say a chapter or a book? Do you know the geography of the Bible? Could I give you the name of a city and you could show me on the map where it is? You know, if you were going to be the president of the United States, it'd probably be a good idea if you knew where all 50 of them were. If you're going to be a master teacher of this book, it might be a good idea if you knew where Jerusalem is. It might be a good idea if you knew where Gibeah was. It might be a good idea if you knew where Bethlehem is. Can you find Gibeah in the Bible? Can you find Geba on the map of Israel? How about Jerusalem? How about Capernaum? Can you find Bethsaida on the map? Could you teach a class on Bible doctrines? If you were called to pastor a church this weekend, could you teach on creation? How about eternity? How about God the Father? How about God the Son? How about God the Holy Ghost? How about a series of lessons on heaven? Could you teach a series of lessons on hell? Could you teach a lesson on salvation? How about baptism, sin, forgiveness, death, judgment, resurrection, prayer, confession, supplication? Do you know the difference in prayer and supplication? Do you know the difference in prayer and confession? Could you teach a series of lessons on the promises of God? How about the sovereignty of God? Do you know what sovereignty means? Can you teach a class on the deity of Christ? Do you know how to preach? How many times have you preached? Have you preached a dozen sermons in your lifetime? Have you preached 50? Have you preached 100? How about 200? Can you teach? Have you ever taught a Sunday school class? Have you ever taught a class for a year or two? Have you ever baptized anybody? Have you ever led anyone? Have you ever led something, built something? Have you ever taken something that was failing and turned it around and turned it into success? Have you ever taken something that was in debt and got it out of debt and put it on stable ground and made it profitable? Do you know how to, hire somebody? Could you hire an assistant pastor? How about a school teacher? How about a school principal? How about a bus mechanic? How about a bus director? How about a secretary? If I were to come to you today and say, I need a new secretary, which I don't. I have one that's fine. But if I came to you and said, I need a new secretary, and I'm going to be out of town for a couple of weeks, when I get back, I'd like to have a list of prospects. Would you know where to start? Would you know who to pick? Would you know how to find somebody? Would you know where to begin? Okay, could you draw up a church budget? How about a school budget? Could you draw that up? Suppose some of you are seniors and you're going to graduate at the end of this semester. Suppose you get hired to be the teacher at a Christian school, and 3 months after you get there, the principal, for some reason, has to leave. He passes away, or there's a problem, and you're a brand new teacher. You've only been teaching 3 months, and they say, you know what? I'm sorry, but you're the only one left. You're the next. You're now the principal of the school. Could you draw up the budget for the rest of the year? Can you get a loan? You know how to go to the bank. If I called you and said, I'm going to be out of town for the next couple of weeks, and when I get back, I need to go down to the bank and get a loan, would you know where to go? Would you know who to talk to? Would you know what paperwork to get out for me? Would you know what statistics to have prepared? Could you get me a building permit? How about, could you hire a contractor? Do you know how to drive a bus? Do you know how to buy a bus? Do you know how to lead singing? Could you conduct a funeral? Could you preach a funeral? Could you preach a funeral? Okay. What funeral would you preach if a baby died? What if there was a miscarriage? What if a child died? What if a teenager died? What if a lost person died? What if somebody committed suicide? What if you had to preach the funeral of an alcoholic? What if you had to preach the funeral of a soldier who was killed in the war? What if you had to preach the funeral for the mother that passed away and left some little children behind? What would you say at the funeral of a father who passed away with his wife and little children standing there in front of you? What if somebody in your church got killed by a drunk driver, and the drunk driver was related to somebody else in your church? How are you going to preach that funeral? I was at a church recently where a grandmother, her adult son, came to her house to do some repair work. Her grandson, her son's son, followed his dad there. There's some kind of argument or something, and he murdered him at her house. Now the pastor's got to preach the funeral. Could you do that? Do you know how to perform a wedding? Do you know how to conduct a rehearsal? How about vacation Bible school? Could you conduct that? Could you plan a summer camp? Could you find the property where you're going to hold the camp? Could you plan the budget? Could you recruit the workers? Could you help a family that has someone that's deceased? Do you know where to take them? Do you take them to the sheriff's office? Do you take them to City Hall? Do you take them to the hospital? Do you take them to the morgue? Do you take them to the funeral home? What do you do? Hey, do you know how to visit a jail? Do you know how to get in? Do you know how to plan a banquet? Do you know how to plan the menu, the decorations, the guest speaker? Hey, do you know how to choose a missionary? Which one do you have come speak at your church, and which ones do you not have, and which ones do you take on, and which ones do you tell them, sorry, we're not able to right now? How do you invite a guest speaker? How do you decide who to invite? How do you contact him? How many do you have per year? Do you know how to write a Sunday school lesson? Do you know the difference between the difference between everlasting and eternal? Do you know the difference between tithes and offerings and alms? Do you know the difference in a Nazarene and a Nazarite? You know the difference between worship and praise? Do you know how to candidate for a church? Would you know what questions to ask the deacon board? Would you know how to answer their questions? Could you preach a series of lessons on heaven or finances or leadership or counseling? And on 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 the list goes. I'm skipping much of it. Do you know how many square feet your building can be before you have to add a turning lane in front of your church that'll cost $75,000 to $150,000? Do you know how many parking spaces you have to have compared to how many seats you have in your auditorium? Do you know? And I said all of that to make this statement. Some of you need to slow down. This idea of, well, they have online classes now. If I zip through an online class during the Christmas holidays and take a couple next summer, maybe I can graduate in 3 years and get out of here. And somebody's going to look at you and say, and you're a college graduate and thou knowest not that? You know, when a man like Dr. Jack Hiles and men like Dr. Wendell Evans and other great men of their stature decided that young people needed at least, bare minimum, 4 years to go through the maturing process to get ready to go out and live life, I doubt that very many 18, 19, 20-year-old college students who think they made a mistake, I don't need to be here 4 years. I can cram it in 2.5 or 3 and get done with it and get out of here. I doubt many of you have life figured out better than they did. I'm going to say something today that may disappoint some of you, but the online college was not started so that you could zip through here and leave unprepared. The online college was started because some of our former students, I was in the meeting. I was there the day it was decided we were going to do it. I was there. The very reason it was started was because some students thought they were ready and left here before they graduated and got out there and figured out, hey, I don't know all this stuff. And they called us and said, look, I'm tied up here, I'm married, I've got kids, I'm on staff at this church, I'm pastoring this church. It just doesn't seem reasonable for me to quit and come back and finish. Could you possibly help me get my degree? And we said, This is a poor second substitute. But yes, we'll start an online college, so those of you that are already out there will have a way to somehow get you a degree. But it was not intended for you to zip through here and leave unprepared, and us have to spend the rest of our life feeling guilty that we cheated you. Some of you need to slow down a little bit. Some of you need to take a few less classes. Some of you need to spread your classes out a little bit. If you think you only need 3 years, you probably are indicating that you have about as much, you have the level of understanding that indicates you need 5 or 6 years. You should study every class to its greatest potential. Do you realize that if you're pulling a grade point average of C, that indicates that you don't know over half of what you need to know? Thank you.
Just hold on a second. Hold on a second. Jesus Christ said of John the Baptist, and I think of with Brother Ray standing up here today, college is a place where we can learn everything he just talked about. But Jesus Christ said, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And we have a man here who's given some preparations, and he's given, God has sent a messenger to help us prepare. Like every head bowed, every eye closed right now.